This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, hey.
Ho, ho.
Happy hour. 501. Chrisello. Tony Gwynn Jr. joining us from Korea there. That was great, always. Catching up with him when he's halfway across the world like that. And Matt Scrabies right here in the Odyssey Palace Studios with me. Montana State, if you're keeping tabs on this NCAA tournament, play-in game, the Bobcats lead Grambling State 53-39.
It's not good for me in my animal duel that chose.
Yes, you said the Tigers would win over the Bobcats.
Because they beat the Bobcats,
Not happening right now. Montana State's on top with about 15 minutes to go. They lead by 14. Later tonight, Boise State will have another chance to put a feather in the cap of the Mountain West Conference when they take on Colorado, the Buffaloes. Buffaloes and Broncos. That's a... Can you take a Buffalo over a Bronco?
Yeah, a Buffalo is like 1,000 pounds. A Bronco, but could a Bronco be like 500 pounds.
The Bronco's kicking and jumping around, causing havoc for the Buffalo, which doesn't have a lot of mobility.
Yeah, but I don't think the Buffalo really cares about getting kicked. I think it just like runs into him.
Just keeps moving forward,
him or her.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah. So you'll take the Buffalo in the battle there.
Yeah, I would think so. Who are you taking, Chris?
I like the Bronco.
You like the Bronco?
You know, stick and move.
Wow.
Stick and move. Kick and move.
All right.
Kick and move until you wear the Buffalo out.
I actually, this is a really random Scrabby side note, but I got caught in a YouTube hole, and it ended up on watching people being bucked off their horses or kicked by their horses.
No.
That is some painful stuff.
Painful looking, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, we all run into those kinds of things from time to time. You click on one thing. Then another pops up, you click on that, and now you're lost.
Yeah.
And you wind up watching videos that can't imagine you're watching.
I watched a guy get stung by a scorpion?
Who has video of that?
What's his name? I wanted to bring it up a while back, but he has a ton of videos of him. He does this for science, Chris. He lets these animals, these insects, like, bite him, sting him.
Got it.
For the videos. It's really, really fun to watch, I gotta say.
Glad you like seeing other people in pain. There's something, they call people something like, about who like that.
I think it's
something.
Am I allowed to say it?
No, let's leave it.
Okay.
Oh, you might be allowed to, but I just think we should leave it. Let's get into today's Big Five. We pushed it back a little bit because Tony was on with us from Korea. But the big sports stories of the day are coming at you right now.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Still trying to look for this guy's name. I think it might be Coyote Peterson.
Who's that? The guy who takes videos of animals injuring people?
Yes, because it is some of the... Yes, Coyote Peterson is his name. He gets stung, Chris. Look at this. Like, he'll put this little centipede on his hand, and it will sting him.
Nah,
this
no interest.
Dude is insane.
No interest.
Yes. Oh,
no interest.
Photo guy just told me it was Coyote Peterson, too. Yes. Just look up Coyote Peterson.
I don't want to.
You need to.
I won't.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Ashley Furniture. Celebrate and save at Ashley's anniversary sale with Hot Buys. Your choice of color starting at just $399 or $399. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $250 plus. Receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases only at Ashley. All right.
Number five.
And, everybody on the chat knows what's up with Coyote Peterson. So thank you for that chat.
You guys all go watch that on your own time.
It's amazing, I gotta say. I'm gonna go watch them tonight. All right, first one here. I've already said number five, but the Rady's Children's Invitational. I believe the first ever one was this last year, right? In 2023, Chris?
It was.
Okay, so they have announced the teams that are going to be taking part in this upcoming 2024 Rady's Children's Invitational, which starts on Thanksgiving. So we had a talk before the show, but here are the teams. Arkansas, BYU, Notre Dame, and Purdue were announced as the teams for this next invitational. Now, you may ask, Chris asked, why not San Diego State? But San Diego State has been playing in other tournaments during the Thanksgiving weekend, so maybe they'll play in a couple years. But, Chris, do you think this has big tournament vibes to you?
It's getting there. I mean, Purdue's big, but they're not going to be nearly as big next year, unfortunately, because Zach Edey won't be there. Obviously, if Purdue wins the national championship this year, that would increase the draw. But I think they've done a great job. I know Mark Neville and all the people at the Holiday Bowl. It's all part of the San Diego sports community there. The Holiday Bowl people have kind of started a separate thing to, you know, put on other events, you know, because the Holiday Bowl is one thing. So they're doing other things. And, you know, it's a big deal. They're doing a good job. Purdue, nice draw. Notre Dame, that's a national brand.
So that's your basketball team. I'm not trying to.
Those are good games. No, it's a good tournament. It's a good tournament. But why shouldn't it be? Right? Teams in the Midwest and in the East are freezing themselves to death during Thanksgiving. The idea of being able to come out to San Diego. Number one, fantastic weather. Number two, you don't have to go all the way to Maui. You don't have to go all the way to Honolulu, wherever those tournaments are.
A
little more convenient.
Way more convenient.
So you come to San Diego. I think this tournament not only was a great idea, but I think it has a chance to be really, really big. And, you know, what they're getting next year, very good.
As a casual college basketball fan, I see these teams and I'm interested because they're big name teams, like you said. And like, even though Zach Edey's not going to be there, you hear Purdue, you think about Purdue now, you think about how much they're talked about. But yeah, I like this.
I think they're calling it the San Diego Sports Council. My wife will correct me on that when I get home. But
San Diego. Oh, the people that are putting it on.
Well, it's the Holiday Bowl people, but it's an addendum to the Holiday Bowl. Now they're calling it, I think the San Diego Sports Council is now even overseeing the Holiday Bowl.
Gotcha.
And then overseeing the Rady's tournament and other events that they're doing throughout the year.
All right. Well,
there you go.
There you go. Look forward to that on Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
Arkansas, BYU, Notre Dame, and Purdue.
Yeah. I'll run down and say hi to Eric Musselman.
I know.
Coach of Arkansas.
I actually thought about that. And I also thought about BYU and how much you would hate them being in the tournament.
Yeah, I will hate that.
You need to talk to those people and be like, why are you inviting BYU into the tournament?
Yeah. Didn't you check with me first?
Yeah. We talked about Scott Boras yesterday and whether or not he lost a little bit of his superpowers this offseason with his big name free agents. Three of his star clients, Matt Chapman. Excuse me.
Easy.
We're getting to the end of the show and I still got another 2 hours and I'm on 3 hours of sleep.
You're on fumes, baby.
Matt Chapman, Cody Bellinger, and now Blake Snell signed for less than expected. Chris and I got into a semi-argument yesterday. I went and did some research, and here are the projections prior to everything happening this offseason.
Hang on before
you
finish.
What?
I just got a text from Lori.
Okay.
Sports San Diego, it's called.
Sports San Diego.
That's what it's called. That
there
oversees the Rady's tournament, now oversees the Holiday Bowl. Sorry, I'm going to hear about that later. I should have known that. So I might have to go ahead and change it as quickly as I could. Let's just move on. Yeah.
So I went and did some research, and here are the projections happening this offseason. Chapman and Bellinger were projected respectively $103 million and $112 million deals, while Snell reportedly turned down $150 million from the Yankees. So that's almost as much as $169 million in lost free agency cash. I'm up first. Does this prove anything to you? It proves that Scott Boras is losing his superpower because Scott Boras can snap his fingers, get a 4-year, $150 million deal, no problem. But that didn't happen this time. People are banding together, making sure that Scott Boras can't take all their money. I really think he had a failure of an offseason. Chris?
Wrong. We already discussed this yesterday. Scott Boras can still get pretty much whatever he wants. Some years it may be a little less than it is.
This is a lot less
than previous year. Oh, it's not a lot less. He got less money, but he got less years. So somebody like Blake Snell can become a free agent again next year and make another $70 million. Scott Boras got what he wanted eventually. All right?
Don't
feel sorry for this guy.
I don't.
Don't feel sorry for this guy.
I'm happy about it.
The teams, the Giants in this case, blinked first. Scott Boras ended up getting his clients huge deals. The number surrounding these huge deals is going to change every year, but it's still a huge deal. It's as much, if not more, than anybody else got.
Now, if Juan Soto doesn't get what he wants, do you think Scott Boras has lost his superpowers?
No, yes. I don't think.
You were about to say yes. I could see it in your face.
Let's just move on. I really don't care. Scott Boras makes so much money and controls his sport
so much.
It's not even funny.
It's about how he is now maybe not in the driver's seat, and it makes me feel good
for some
reason.
I think he's doing just fine.
Yes, personally he is.
Number three.
Clients are not, though. Losing millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah. Poor Blake Snell. I feel for him.
I would fire him.
Yeah, well, let's see if anybody does.
They won't. Jordan Montgomery might. San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk chose an interesting way to get the 49ers' attention with what he posted on X. So yesterday or the day before, he tagged Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin in a message on X amid questions about his long-term future in the Bay Area. He said, quote, "Coach Tomlin, they say and we twins. What you think?" With eyeball emojis or emoji. So he's thinking. So 49er fans have lost their mind thinking that he wants to go to the Steelers.
Who wants to again?
Brandon Ayuk.
Okay.
This is the news of the offseason for the 49ers. Whether or not they trade him, whether or not they extend him, what happens with Brandon Ayuk? Chris, do you think Brandon Ayuk is worth the hassle?
Don't care. Has to do with the 49ers. I have no interest.
This is a big NFL story. I'm not just bringing it up for my own personal
gain.
Yes,
you are.
No, I am not.
Oh, yes, you are.
What do you think?
Do I think he's worth the hassle? What do you mean?
The hassle of him putting, like, he wants the 49ers either to pay him or trade him.
Okay.
What do you, if you're John Lynch, are you calling his bluff?
I would pay him if I could because I think he's that good.
Okay. That's what I'm looking for.
There's your answer.
Yes, and that's what I think as
but
well.
But if I don't, you know, if he wants too much, then yeah. At some point, I'd like to be the team that tells these guys, you know what, if you don't like it, I'm just going to trade you. But you can't really do that and be successful anymore.
No.
You have to hang on to somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to keep just proving a point by trading all of the guys that want more money, you're not going to have much of a team left.
That's true.
So, you know, I have to consider what he wants and see if I can't make it happen because I think he's a key part of that squad.
I agree.
Especially since Deebo Samuel is injured every other 5 minutes.
Thank you for saying that.
You're welcome.
I agree 100%. I think Brandon Ayuk, if they lose him, that's going to hurt the team a lot. A lot.
Wait till Brock Purdy becomes the next
number two.
Justin Fields or something like that. Not going to be happy.
Hate you. So, we were just talking about this Shohei Ohtani.
Leave him alone.
Stuff.
He got married this offseason. Be nice to him.
He's in Turks and Caicos right now on his honeymoon.
He's having a ball.
All right. So
is
Shohei
he seriously
Ohtani.
There? Do you know this?
I think so. I saw an article earlier. I don't know if it's Turks and Caicos, but it's one of those tropical locations.
All right.
So, Shohei Ohtani, we talked about it. His translator has been fired for apparently stealing $4.5 million from him and paying bookies with it. But this is the kind of conversation going on X, and Dallas Braden is very into this and he's been tweeting like crazy. But I'm up first. Do you think Shohei Ohtani should have to step aside until they figure this out?
Step aside?
Like,
well, I think he should be fortunate if he's allowed to step aside.
No, I mean,
hopefully he's not the center of their focus in
yes,
this thing.
No, I know, but I'm saying
because there was the one report you read said that the whole notion was that Ohtani might have given the guy the money himself to cover
it's
his gambling
from
debts.
His accounts.
Yeah, but if Ohtani was the one who actually made the transaction, that's certainly being involved with some dirty money.
It is,
right?
It is. I think
probably not the best look for Ohtani, even though his mind might have been in the right place, like it was trying to help.
Yeah.
But you're giving somebody
four.
You
got to be smarter than that, though, if you're Shohei Ohtani.
You got to be careful.
I think that Shohei Ohtani seems like a great guy, and he seems like he's squeaky clean. I mean, there's nothing that's ever followed him that I know of. But I would possibly, if this has any impact on betting, you're going to have him sit out for a little bit until they figure it out. It's not going to happen, but if there is anything to this, this would happen to any player. They would make these
not
players
sitting
sit
out. Get over it.
I kind of agree.
Get over it. Not happening. Not happening. It's not. No.
Sarah says,
they'll protect him from all of it.
Sarah says, I do. Lock him up. Add glove gate to him, too.
Well, that's what we said earlier. If you can't beat him, jail him.
Oh, my gosh, Chris. Spy Kids on YouTube. This has nothing to do with anything, but they say conspiracies, more like conscrabacies. Ha ha!
New word in the English language.
So you don't think this is going to happen?
Nothing's going to happen. Sorry.
I know. Adam on the chat says, oh, stop. Just stop with the sit-out comments. How do you know that he's not involved, Adam? You do not.
Not going to be sitting out anytime soon.
He was involved one way or another, as Dan said, because it came from his account.
Number one.
I think this is really cool. But Gold Zone is going to be a live whip-around show that features the most exciting Olympic moments across sports as they're happening this summer when the Olympics return to Paris, and it's all going to air on Peacock. Now, here's what I really love, Chris. Our guy, Scott Hansen, 7 hours of commercial-free football starts now, is going to be saying the Olympics starts now because he's going to be a host. Andrew Siciliano is going to be a host. Matt Eisman is going to be a host. And former guest of the show and San Diego State for lifer, Akbar Gbaja Biamila will be host of the show. Again, we'll stream live daily on Peacock from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern starting on July 27th, which is the first day of medal competition through August 10th. NBC Sports said, with up to 40 events happening simultaneously during the Paris Olympic Games, Gold Zone will present viewers with the best and most compelling moments happening at any time. So I didn't know this. A Gold Zone show actually debuted on NBC's Olympic broadcast coverage in 2012. But you're up first, Chris. Do you like this?
I like it if I'm home all day watching the Olympics live.
True.
It's better than, you know, what they have now, which is a lot of replays and old video, and I've heard the results.
Yeah.
And now I watch somebody win the 100 meters, and
that
I already know what happened.
Hearing the result.
Yeah, you hear the results because the whole thing is overseas. So, yeah, I think it's a pretty good idea. I don't know if it's going to quite beat NFL Red Zone when Scott Hansen says, let's go to the Greco-Roman wrestling arena for an update.
You know that he's going to make you excited that Greco-Roman update.
He'll try. I don't know that he'll be able to. But, yeah, I will say that, I like this idea. We want our sports as it's happening now, right?
We do.
We're used to it. That's what we get.
We do.
And Scott Hansen gives it to us as well, if not better than anyone.
Yeah.
He's the man.
I love this idea.
I love Scott Hansen.
That's it for the Big Five.
Is he coming on the show again before next season? He better. He's got to make it a yearly
thing. Always does.
He always makes time
for us. He's done it for the past 4 years.
It's so good that he does that because, again, we don't have a team in San Diego. But
I was like, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but he knows
right. We don't.
That we have a lot of football fans here.
He also, you know what he does, too?
Scott Hansen's the man.
I know he's a good guy because whenever we call him, he says, I'm speaking with Chris and Tony, right? And I'm like, you know exactly what's up. That's a good guest right there.
He is a good dude. Scott Hansen, thumbs up all the way around. All right. What are you turning off
my
mic for?
I accidentally impressed both of them.
Feels like a ball just went through my glove. We'll take a time out here. When we come back, more Gwen and Chris. And if you have your brackets handy, we have great knowledge for you coming up at the bottom of the hour. Sean Paul from the Field of 68 with some interesting tidbits about the NCAA tournament. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, we're getting into the March Madness and the NCAA tournament, so our focus will go away from the NBA for a couple of weeks, but
woohoo!
Yeah, I'm watching a little of this Celtics-Bucks game tonight.
Oh, man, I didn't see the score.
Jason Tatum's ridiculous. He is, in his last nine games, it just flashes on the screen, last nine games, Scrib, he's shooting 49% from three.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a three-pointer. It's like a 28-foot shot, and he's making it half the time.
I can't believe that Al Horford is still playing.
And still making three-point shots as well. Celtics lead the Bucks big, 56-38. Second quarter, Giannis not playing for Milwaukee. The Celtics are 10 games up on the Bucks in the East. That's how far clear they are of getting the number one seed.
So when do people start blaming the Bucks team for their bad season instead of the coaches?
Instead of Doc Rivers?
Not even, what was the guy's name? I can't remember his name.
Oh, the first guy got fired when they were in first place.
Yes.
Ever since he got fired, they've fallen much worse.
When are they going to start pointing fingers at the guys who actually play?
Well, they're still 20 games over 500. They're just not keeping up with the Celtics, who are 40 games over 500. Celtics are 40 games over 500.
That's incredible.
Pretty good.
That's really good.
Pretty good. Meanwhile, last time we checked on this NCAA tournament game, the first four in Dayton, Montana State was leading Grambling State by 14 in the second half. That has changed. Grambling with a pair of 11-0 runs in the second half, and the Tigers now are ahead of the Bobcats. So your theory is holding out.
Here we go.
Grambling State 65, Montana State 63. 3 minutes to go in that one. All right, NCAA tournament. Oh, goodness.
There's my tiger.
Yeah. Get your brackets out. Sean Paul, Field of 68 website. So smart. I'm not just saying this. The guy has the Stetson backcourt memorized.
He does.
Along with every other bit of information you'd ever need about the tournament. So,
do you think he would beat you in a Chris versus the Fans College Tournament edition? College basketball edition? For like this year college basketball?
Like trivia?
Yeah.
Well, of course he would beat me.
Oh, okay.
I don't know the Stetson backcourt.
True.
How the hell am I going to get that?
Other than Sean Paul?
I mean, he knows every single player on the Aztecs, every single player on UAB. This guy's...
He's locked in.
He's money.
Yeah.
So, that interview's coming up after a short break. All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Final segment of our Wednesday get-together. Scraby Chronicles are coming up at 6 o'clock. More on Glovegate.
Oh, we're going to get into Glovegate.
I imagine you're going to get even further into Glovegate than you and I got into Glovegate.
But we're going to get even further into Ohtanigate.
Yeah, Ohtanigate running concurrently with Glovegate.
This is one of the greatest conspiracy theories.
What are they calling
year.
A conscrabacy?
Conscrabacy.
A conscrabacy.
Yes. Whoever said that earlier.
Yeah.
Thank
very
you.
Good.
I
yeah.
Love
you're going to use that for sure. Dodgers over the Padres 5-2 today, after a simple ground ball by Gavin Lux with two runners aboard, went from being a double play to an RBI error as the ball went through the glove of Cronenworth into right field. And I mean through the glove. Never seen it before. Tony says it happens a couple of times a year. I must not get to see it because I had never seen it before. Anyway, Padres walked 9, hit a batter. That did not help their cause today. Offensively, only 4 singles for the Padres. And, they got an RBI single from Xander. And then really the big moment was Campusano there. Bases loaded, bottom of the fourth, nobody out, hits into a double play. A run scored, but did not get the big inning that you needed. So the Dodgers get the first one. They'll play again tomorrow morning. We'll have it for you on 97.3 The Fan. Sammy Levs Eco Water pregame show gets underway at 2:05 a.m.
It was really nice, actually, driving down, listening to the sultry tones of
the
Sammy
sultry
Lev
tones
at 2:15 in the morning.
Sammy can get it done. He was on his game today.
He was.
Thanks again one last time to the 350-plus who showed up down at 7 Mile Casino today to watch the opener with all of us. So crowded that we honestly, I don't think we turned people away. People just turned themselves away because there was nowhere really to go.
I did.
We had such an amazing turnout. We, we could handle who was there, but it was a little crowded,
to
be honest.
When I finally found a parking spot and tried to start making my way over there, I saw a bunch of people walking the other way, and I was like, what happened? Like, did the game get canceled or something like that? And they're like, no, we just can't find a place to watch the game.
Yeah, it was really a great turnout, so thanks to all you people who are out there. All right, also tomorrow, starting at about 9 in the morning, the NCAA basketball tournament rolls all day long. The Aztecs don't play until Friday, but you have 16 games tomorrow. They'll be gone all day long. It's like Christmas, to me anyway, to watch NCAA tournament action.
Gobble, gobble.
Or that.
I don't know why.
It's not Christmas.
I just wanted to play that.
That's not Christmas. But in that vein, we had an interview with Sean Paul earlier, Field of 68 website. If you don't think I'm right when you hear this interview, then you don't. But I think you will agree with me that he knows a lot about college basketball, and he's giving us some great insight ahead of the start of March Madness. NCAA basketball guru from the Field of 68 joining us on Gwen and Chris is our friend Sean Paul. Sean, how are you today?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. And yeah, that game last night was not a sight to behold. I'll tell you that much.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But it was, it was a little bit for Mountain West Conference fans. I mean, after all,
for sure,
other than the Aztecs, the Mountain West had been 0-11 in the previous, whatever, 4 or 5 years. So for the Mountain West to get a nice win over that's a third place team from the ACC. I don't know what that says about the rest of the ACC, but I guess we'll find out going forward. All right, let's start, Sean. I ask you about, Boise State and Colorado tonight and take a little look at some of the other matchups. But let's start with the Aztecs and their draw, UAB in the first round. This is not metrically one of the best teams in the tournament. As a matter of fact, I think their net is actually lower than all of the 13 seeds, let alone being the lowest among the 12 seeds. So did the Aztecs truly get a beneficial draw here, or is that window dressing?
Honestly, for the way that San Diego State plays, I think this matchup was one of the worst 12 seeds they could have gotten.
Really?
Because
okay,
San Diego State, or UAB, has a ton of size. They play, honestly, more of an old-school style with the way this year's roster is built. They have Yaxel Lendenborg, who is a big man, double-double machine. He's been one of the better bigs in the country over the last couple months. And you have Javian Davis, who used to play at the high major level at Mississippi State and Alabama. Those two play together a lot, 6'9", 265 for Davis, 6'9", 230 for Lendenborg. They just have so much size up front. And if you're trying to stop Jaden Ledee, you have to have some size up front to stop that man. He was an All-American for a reason. But what it comes down to for UAB is they're going to have to be able to hit a couple perimeter shots. They're a really bad shooting team, 33% from deep. Eric Gaines, Alejandro Vasquez, Buddha Johnson, all three of those guys are – Buddha Johnson's a shooter of the bunch, but Eric Gaines and Vasquez are more defenders and more on-ball defenders that can cause havoc. And they're both athletic. They're both strong. They can be really good for this team. But they're just not shooters. So it's going to be a pretty low-scoring game in my mind. UAB's defense is pretty poor, but they will be able to flash a lot of different looks at you. And I think their defense is a little bit better than the numbers would indicate just based on the raw talent they have. But San Diego State, I mean, I talked about it last time. Those guards have to score because if you're putting everything on Jaden Ledee's plate, at some point he's not going to have a good game. You're going to need Lamont Butler to score. You're going to need Darion Trammell to score. You're going to need Micah Parrish to score. You need somebody to score the basketball outside of Jaden Ledee, and we'll see who that is, but they need somebody to do it.
Talking to Sean Paul of the Field of 68 here on 97.3 The Fan. And real quick, did you say his name was Buddha Johnson?
Yeah, Butta. His real name is Ephraim, but he goes by Butta.
Okay, that's a pretty cool nickname, I gotta say. If you're named Butta as a basketball player,
I bet he's smooth.
I bet he is. But we had a writer on yesterday, and he was talking about the team and how, you know, they, as you said, might not be the best team in the tournament, but they could still do some damage. Do the Aztecs have the upper hand in regards to the bench? Because throughout the year, the bench has been a big thing for the team, and I feel like the bench could be the aspect that helps them win the game.
I mean, definitely. When you look at UAB, they want to play a lot of size. They really only go about 8 or 9 guys deep at most. Christian Coleman and Javian Davis kind of swap around at that 4 spot a little bit. You get some more athleticism and versatility with Coleman. I think that could actually work decently well in this game, depending on how the foul situation sets up, because Jaden Ledee draws fouls better than anybody not named Zach Edey in the country. So I think Coleman could see a steady diet in this game, especially with Jay Powell. They're very similar in the way they're built. But they bring Daniel Ortiz and Tony Tony. Another great name of Tony Tony coming off the bench.
Tony.
Yeah.
Sounds
yeah.
Like our great names here.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's funny.
Those are two guys that can shoot it, so I'd like to see a little bit more of them than we typically do, to be honest with you. But, yeah, this isn't the most talented team in the field. They're probably one of the least talented 12 seeds in the field. But just the way this team is built, it scares me a little bit for the way San Diego State plays, because you want to face a team that doesn't have a litany of big men, and they have just that.
Yeah. Well, almost anything scares me if I'm San Diego State right now, because the Aztecs don't shoot the ball well, and they don't rebound great on the defensive glass, and that is where UAB makes its hay. So I definitely,
one of the best in the country.
Yeah, no question. The Aztecs are going to have their work cut out for them, but just for fun, let's look ahead at their draw. I mean, they made an amazing run last year. Nobody saw that coming. We can dream a little, can't we? Let's say they beat UAB. Is Auburn too good in the second round? I've seen that. Now, their metrics are off the charts. They are way up there in defensive efficiency, offensive efficiency. I've seen nothing but, great reviews on Auburn. And then if they are able to get past that, they're going to have UConn. I know the Aztecs beat the number one seed last year, Alabama, but UConn seems like a whole nother animal.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. UConn is the best team in the country by a lot, in my opinion. They just have so many different options on the offensive end. All 5 starters average double digits. They can defend. They can just go on a 10-0 run faster than anybody in the country, and in a blink of an eye, just change the entire game. They did it twice during the Big East tournament. This is the best team in the country. They've only lost a couple times all year, and they've just looked impressive all year long. But Auburn, you mentioned as well, in the potential second-round matchup, again, they have a big-time stud big in Jani Broome. They have Jalen Williams, who's another awesome piece. So San Diego State's interior is really good, but that's going to be tested in the potential first two-round matchups. But I wouldn't sleep on Yale in that first-round matchup against Auburn either. Yale is a pretty good team. They have a lot of size for an Ivy League team, with 7-footer Danny Wolf and Matt Noling, who made the game winner against Brown in the Ivy League title game. They have a really good point guard in Bez Embang, who I think is better than any point guard Auburn has on their roster, which is my big concern about them. They're very similar to San Diego State in the fact that they have a really good front court, but the guard play is really shaky, and that's why I don't think either team will make a super deep run in the tournament, although the metrics absolutely love Auburn, so you can draw some parallels to UConn being super beloved by the metrics last year and being a 4 seed, same deal for Auburn. I just don't think Auburn is nearly as good as that UConn team last year. But I could see San Diego State getting past Auburn if they beat UAB. I could see it. I don't know if I would predict it, but I could see it. There's a world where that could happen. I don't think San Diego State's going to make the Sweet 16 this year, though.
That's fair. That is fair, Sean.
I think it's fair. I just, if you don't mind being wrong, it's fair.
Hey, I'd love to be wrong. I love this program and what Dutcher has. Just the guards, they just don't do it enough.
They haven't.
Because last year you had Bradley at least set the tone, and I know we didn't have a huge season last year compared to the previous year, but against Charleston and FAU, their two closest games of the tournament before the title game, who was there saving the day for San Diego State? Matt Bradley.
Yep, that's true. We're talking to Sean Paul, Field of 68 here, and I got a side question before my actual question. Do you just memorize everything about basketball?
It's pretty unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
He's ripping off these names. It's left and right.
There's incredible. No way you're sitting in front of your computer doing this. This is coming off the top of your head.
I'm not sitting in front of my computer, no.
I know. How do you do this?
I love this. I love this stuff.
I watch a lot of basketball. I study a lot of basketball. I don't know. See, if I was as good at memorizing math equations as I am at memorizing college basketball players, I would have been a lot better in school. Unfortunately, yeah. That wasn't the case.
Yeah. You and me both,
but,
Sean.
I'm great at memorizing basketball.
You and me both.
So we were just talking about upsets and different teams that could do some things in the tournament. And here's the million-dollar question that everybody wants to know. Who's the upset that they should be picking in their bracket?
It's a great question. I think right now Samford is a trendy one over Kansas with Kevin McCullough being out, but I don't love the way that Samford's built against high major teams. They don't have a ton of size to really battle against Hunter Dickinson. They have two good big men at the Chorachor and Jermaine Marshall. Those are two really good Southern Conference big men, but both are really wings playing the four and five. I don't think they'll fare very well against Kansas because the way Kansas doesn't turn the ball over, Samford pressures a ton. They have a small backcourt and they shoot a ton of threes. I just don't think that's going to work against Kansas. But Grand Canyon over St. Mary's is the one I've really dug my heels into at this point. I think they're a really good team. They're more athletic than St. Mary's, and obviously St. Mary's is really good. They have two great guards with Augustus Marshallonis, Aiden Mahaney. They're a great defensive team, but their offense can leave a little bit to be desired at times. They ran through the WCC this season. But when you look at Grand Canyon, I mean, they have a really, really good team. Did they beat San Diego State this year? Or they played, right?
Yeah, they beat the Aztecs rather handily down there. Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, I thought that was coming to my mind correctly. Ty and Grant Foster, one of the best players in this tournament. He's just an absolute stud. He's an NBA player. Grand Canyon is a really good offensive rebounding team. They have a lot of offensive weapons like Ray Harrison, Javon Blackshear. They just have so many dudes that can beat you. They're more athletic than St. Mary's. I think it'll be a Grand Canyon victory.
Well, there's something to go along with that pick of Grand Canyon is that on my bracket, I have St. Mary's going quite a ways, and I'm not very good in brackets. So,
No, nor am I.
So, well, you know, that's just something for you people out there to keep in mind. Maybe Grand Canyon is one of those really good choices. A couple things. Beat the twos last year. We've got Purdue in this tournament. They've lost, you know, to double-digit seeds, it seems like, every year. Are we going to get one of those crazy tournaments again this year, Sean, or is it going to at least get a little bit back to semi-normal?
I mean, I don't think so, but at the same time, like, if I was, I could just be like, hey, St. Peter's going to win it again, guys, but I'd just be lying to you because I don't think it's going to happen. I didn't think Princeton was going to win a game last year either. I didn't think St. Peter's was going to beat Kentucky. I thought St. Peter's would cover the 21.5-point spread or whatever it was against Kentucky. I didn't think they'd win. But Oral Roberts over Ohio State, I did actually predict that one, and that got me a lot of Twitter followers a good 3 years ago. But it's just, you're really just guessing if you have a 15 or a 16 seed over a 1 or a 2 seed because the odds of it happening are just so slim. Obviously, it can happen, and you look at some of these 16 seeds, there's some talent there last night. I mean, it was a really good game by Wagner, but they play 7 guys. Like, that's not a formula to win against a 1 seed. Then you have Montana State and Grambling State. They play tonight. I don't think either of those two teams are going to win a game as a 16. Stetson, I think, is the most talented 16 seed out there, and they play UConn. Like, that's just a terrible matchup. Yeah. But Jalen Blackman, if you're looking for a guard who can really go, he scored 43 points in the A-Sun title game. He is one of the best guard scorers in the country. Stephon Swenson right next to him, that's a really good guard duo, but they're playing UConn. They're not going to win that game. So you can still find things to enjoy about these games, but odds are they're probably not going to win.
We're talking to Sean Paul, Field of 68 here, and my last question is very simple. Where can people go to find your thoughts, find your articles, and what's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, at SeanPaulCBB, to see all of the NCAA tournament thoughts I have and tweeting about random transfers because everybody is entering the transfer portal nowadays. So maybe San Diego State will get a couple of them.
We probably will. I want to ask you one more thing before I let you go. I mean, I told everybody before you came on, I said, this guy's really knowledgeable, so get your brackets out. And you have done nothing to change my mind, Sean. I mean, I can't believe the in-depth knowledge you have. The one thing that people are saying this year is that UConn, Houston, and Purdue, those three, are just better than everybody. Do you have all three of them being able to get to the Final Four, or are they likely to run into some problems somewhere? I know you don't think UConn will. What about the other two?
That's a great question. Well, I'll just say my pick here. I have UConn winning the whole thing. I know that's a very chalk pick these days, but that's just the best team I've seen this year. I've watched a lot of UConn because they're just that fun to watch. they're the best team I've seen. I'm perfectly okay being wrong if they're not going to win at all. But the other two, I have Houston going down in the round of 32. I know that's a very unpopular opinion, but I could air my thoughts on them real fast. Their defense is elite, like always. Kelvin Sampson's a great coach, but I've said for months, what's going to happen to Houston when L.J. Cryer and Jamal Shedd have an off-scoring night? And we saw exactly what happens in that situation against Iowa State. They were completely outmatched by a really good Iowa State team as a two-seed. Probably should have been a one-seed, in my opinion. But they got completely outmatched because they don't have enough scoring outside of those two. They need those two to combine for 40 points in a game if they're going to win that game against a high-level team. I have Texas A&M taking them down in the round of 32. For me, it just comes down to the lack of scoring options, and they are just so depleted right now, which isn't the style that Kelvin Sampson wants his team to have. He likes having a ton of depth, but Juwan Roberts is shaken up right now. He should play, I assume. He played in the conference title game, but I don't think he's 100%. You're down three rotation players. Houston's just not as good as the other two teams, in my opinion. I think it's UConn and Purdue, and then a decently sized gap between Houston and the other two.
Okay.
I don't think Houston's going to make a deep run. I just don't see it this year. Purdue, I have making it to, I think, the Elite Eight and losing. Obviously, they can win it all, too. But I think UConn is the best of that bunch by a pretty clear margin.
Well, Sean, I'm a lot smarter about the tournament than I was 20 minutes ago. Thanks for great insight. Let's catch up to you again, and we'll preview the Aztec Sweet 16 matchup against UConn, the one that you don't think is going to happen.
Title rematch? All right, I'm down for that. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Why not? Hey, we owe them from last year. We appreciate it, Sean. Thanks. Great stuff as always. Again, give us the Twitter thing, and it's the Field of 68, the website that people can follow. Because the rest of the guys are just as smart as you are. So tell us again.
Twitter at Sean Paul CBB and the Field of 68. I believe it's just at the Field of 68. Nightly show every night with a bunch of really smart college basketball minds. And they'll be going live again tonight. So make sure you pay attention to that. The Field of 68 daily, a written version of everything you need to know about college basketball. Subscribe to that newsletter. You can find all that information on the Field of 68's Twitter. And I believe it's on mine as well.
Awesome. Wow. Great stuff, Sean. We really enjoyed it. Thanks again. We'll talk to you again. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
There you go. Sean Paul from the Field of 68. And there you go. A little help for your brackets. And you now have the knowledge of the starting backcourt at Stetson.
That's right.
Stetson. I guarantee you could interview a reporter from Stetson. They wouldn't know who the starting backcourt is. Sean Paul knew.
He did.
He was on top of the situation. 1 minute to go in overtime. Good game. Obviously, they're in overtime. NCAA first four. Grambling State 80, Montana State 78. Grambling State by two. They have the ball with a minute left in overtime. The winner will get a chance to beat Purdue on Friday. The next game will be Boise State and Colorado. Scraby will keep you up to date on all of that.
Yes,
he will. He's coming up next with the Scraby Chronicles. It's Gwen and Chris. Hope you enjoyed today. Don't forget Padre Baseball at 3 o'clock in the morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
NCAA basketball guru from the Field of 68. Joining us on Gwen and Chris is our friend Sean Paul. Sean, how are you today?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. And yeah, that game last night was not a sight to behold. I'll tell you that much.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But it was, you know, it was a little bit for Mountain West Conference fans. I mean, after all,
for sure.
Other than the Aztecs, the Mountain West had been 0-11 in the previous, whatever, you know, four or five years. So for the Mountain West to get a nice win over that's a third place team from the ACC. I don't know what that says about the rest of the ACC, but I guess we'll find out going forward. All right, let's start, Sean, I ask you about, you know, Boise State and Colorado tonight and take a little look at some of the other matchups. But let's start with the Aztecs and their draw. UAB in the first round. This is not metrically one of the best teams in the tournament. As a matter of fact, I think their net is actually lower than all of the 13 seeds, let alone being the lowest among the 12 seeds. So did the Aztecs truly get a beneficial draw here, or is that window dressing?
Honestly, for the way that San Diego State plays, I think this matchup was one of the worst 12 seeds they could have gotten.
Really?
Because
okay.
San Diego State, or UAB, has a ton of size. They play, honestly, more of an old-school style with the way this year's roster is built. They have Yaxel Lendenborg, who is a big man, double-double machine. He's been one of the better bigs in the country over the last couple months. And you have Javian Davis, who used to play at the high major level at Mississippi State and Alabama. Those two play together a lot, 6'9", 265 for Davis, 6'9", 230 for Lendenborg. They just have so much size up front. And if you're trying to stop Jaden Ladie, you have to have some size up front to stop that man. He was an All-American for a reason. But what it comes down to for UAB is they're going to have to be able to hit a couple perimeter shots. They're a really bad shooting team, 33% from deep. Eric Gaines, Alejandro Vasquez, Buddha Johnson, all three of those guys are – Buddha Johnson's a shooter of the bunch, but Eric Gaines and Vasquez are more defenders and more on-ball defenders that can cause havoc. And they're both athletic. They're both strong. They can be really good for this team, but they're just not shooters. So it's going to be a pretty low-scoring game in my mind. UAB's defense is pretty poor, but they will be able to flash a lot of different looks at you. And I think their defense is a little bit better than the numbers would indicate just based on the raw talent they have. But San Diego State, I mean, I talked about it last time. Those guards have to score because if you're putting everything on Jaden Ladie's plate, at some point he's not going to have a good game. You're going to need Lamont Butler to score. You're going to need Darion Trammell to score. You're going to need Micah Parrish to score. You need somebody to score the basketball outside of Jaden Ladie, and we'll see who that is, but they need somebody to do it.
Talking to Sean Paul of the Field of 68 here on 97.3 The Fan. And real quick, did you say his name was Buddha Johnson?
Yeah, Buddha. His real name is Ephraim, but he goes by Buddha.
Okay, that's a pretty cool nickname, I gotta say, if you're named Buddha as a basketball player.
I bet he's smooth.
I bet he is. But we had a writer on yesterday, and he was talking about the team and how, you know, they, as you said, might not be the best team in the tournament, but they could still do some damage. Do the Aztecs have the upper hand in regards to the bench? Because throughout the year, the bench has been a big thing for the team, and I feel like the bench could be the aspect that helps them win the game.
I mean, definitely. When you look at UAB, they want to play a lot of size. They really only go about 8 or 9 guys deep at most. Christian Coleman and Javian Davis kind of swap around at that 4 spot a little bit. You get some more athleticism and versatility with Coleman. I think that could actually work decently well in this game, depending on how the foul situation sets up, because Jaden Ladie draws fouls better than anybody not named Zach Edey in the country. So I think Coleman could see a steady diet in this game, especially with Jay Powell. They're very similar in the way they're built. But they bring Daniel Ortiz and Tony, another great name of Tony coming off the bench.
Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like great
name
here.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's funny.
Those are two guys that can shoot it, so I'd like to see a little bit more of them than we typically do, to be honest with you. But, yeah, this isn't the most talented team in the field. They're probably one of the least talented 12 seeds in the field. But just the way this team is built, it scares me a little bit for the way San Diego State plays, because you want to face a team that doesn't have a litany of big men, and they have just that.
Yeah. Well, almost anything scares me if I'm San Diego State right now, because the Aztecs don't shoot the ball well, and they don't rebound great on the defensive glass, and that is where UAB makes its hay. So I definitely,
one of the best in the country.
Yeah, no question. The Aztecs are going to have their work cut out for them, but just for fun, let's look ahead at their draw. I mean, they made an amazing run last year. Nobody saw that coming. We can dream a little, can't we? Let's say they beat UAB. Is Auburn too good in the second round? I've seen that. Now, their metrics are off the charts. They are way up there in defensive efficiency, offensive efficiency. I've seen nothing but, you know, great reviews on Auburn. And then if they are able to get past that, they're going to have UConn. I know the Aztecs beat the number one seed last year, Alabama, but UConn seems like a whole nother animal.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. UConn is the best team in the country by a lot, in my opinion. They just have so many different options on the offensive end. All five starters average double digits. They can defend. They can just go on a 10-0 run faster than anybody in the country and in a blink of an eye just change the entire game. They did it twice during the Big East tournament. This is the best team in the country. They've only lost a couple times all year, and they've just looked impressive all year long. But Auburn, you mentioned as well in the potential second-round matchup. Again, they have a big-time stud big in Jahni Broome. They have Jalen Williams, who's another awesome piece. So San Diego State's interior is really good, but that's going to be tested in the potential first two-round matchups. But I wouldn't sleep on Yale in that first-round matchup against Auburn either. Yale is a pretty good team. They have a lot of size for an Ivy League team with seven-footer Danny Wolf and Matt Noling, who made the game winner against Brown in the Ivy League title game. They have a really good point guard in Bez Embang, who I think is better than any point guard Auburn has on their roster, which is my big concern about them. They're very similar to San Diego State in the fact that they have a really good front court, but the guard play is really shaky, and that's why I don't think either team will make a super deep run in the tournament, although the metrics absolutely love Auburn. So you can draw some parallels to UConn being super beloved by the metrics last year and being a four seed, same deal for Auburn. I just don't think Auburn is nearly as good as that UConn team last year. But I could see San Diego State getting past Auburn if they beat UAB. I could see it. I don't know if I would predict it, but I could see it. There's a world where that could happen. I don't think San Diego State's going to make the Sweet 16 this year, though.
That's fair. That is fair, Sean.
I think it's fair. If you don't mind being wrong, it's fair.
Hey, I'd love to be wrong. I love this program and what Dutcher has. Just the guards, they just don't do it enough.
They haven't.
Because last year you had Bradley at least set the tone, and I know we didn't have a huge season last year compared to the previous year, but against Charleston and FAU, their two closest games of the tournament before the title game, who was there saving the day for San Diego State? Matt Bradley.
Yep, that's true. We're talking to Sean Paul, Field of 68 here, and I got a side question before my actual question. Do you just memorize everything about basketball?
It's pretty unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
He's ripping off these names. It's left and right.
There's no way you're sitting in front of your computer doing this. This is coming off the top of your head.
I'm not in front of my computer, no.
How do you do this?
I love this stuff.
I watch a lot of basketball. I study a lot of basketball. I don't know. If I was as good as memorizing math equations as I am at memorizing college basketball players, I would have been a lot better in school. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case.
Yeah. You and me both, Sean.
I'm great at memorizing basketball.
You and me both.
So we were just talking about upsets and different teams that could do some things in the tournament. And here's the million-dollar question that everybody wants to know. Who's the upset that they should be picking in their bracket?
It's a great question. I think right now Samford is a trendy one over Kansas with Kevin McCullough being out, but I don't love the way that Samford's built against high major teams. They don't have a ton of size to really battle against Hunter Dickinson. They have two good big men at the Chorachor and Jermaine Marshall. Those are two really good Southern Conference big men, but both are really wings playing the four and five. I don't think they'll fare very well against Kansas because the way Kansas doesn't turn the ball over, Samford pressures a ton. They have a small backcourt, and they shoot a ton of threes. I just don't think that's going to work against Kansas. But Grand Canyon over St. Mary is the one I've really dug my heels into at this point. I think they're a really good team. They're more athletic than St. Mary's, and obviously St. Mary's is really good. They have two great guards with Augustus Marshallonis, Aiden Mahaney. They're a great defensive team, but their offense can leave a little bit to be desired at times. They ran through the WCC this season. But when you look at Grand Canyon, I mean, they have a really, really good team. Did they beat San Diego State this year? They played, right?
Yeah, they beat the Aztecs rather handily down there. Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, I thought that was coming to my mind correctly. Ty and Grant Foster, one of the best players in this tournament. He's just an absolute stud. He's an NBA player. Grand Canyon's a really good offensive rebounding team. They have a lot of offensive weapons like Ray Harrison, Javon Blackshear. They just have so many dudes that can beat you. They're more athletic than St. Mary's. I think it'll be a Grand Canyon victory.
Well, there's something to go along with that pick of Grand Canyon is that on my bracket, I have St. Mary's going quite a ways, and I'm not very good in brackets.
So, nor am I.
So, well, you know, that's just something for you people out there to keep in mind. Maybe Grand Canyon is one of those really good choices. A couple things. Beat the twos last year. We've got Purdue in this tournament. They've lost, you know, to double-digit seeds, it seems like, every year. Are we going to get one of those crazy tournaments again this year, Sean, or is it going to at least get a little bit back to semi-normal?
I mean, I don't think so, but at the same time, like, I could just be like, hey, St. Peter's going to win it again, guys, but I'd just be lying to you because I don't think it's going to happen. I didn't think Princeton was going to win a game last year either. I didn't think St. Peter's was going to beat Kentucky. I thought St. Peter's would cover the 21.5-point spread or whatever it was against Kentucky. I didn't think they'd win. But Oral Roberts over Ohio State, I did actually predict that one, and that got me a lot of Twitter followers a good 3 years ago. But it's just, you're really just guessing if you have a 15 or a 16 seed over a 1 or a 2 seed, because the odds of it happening are just so slim. Obviously, it can happen, and you look at some of these 16 seeds, there's some talent there last night. I mean, it was a really good game by Wagner, but they play 7 guys. Like, that's not a formula to win against a 1 seed. Then you have Montana State and Grambling State. They play tonight. I don't think either of those two teams are going to win a game as a 16. Stetson, I think, is the most talented 16 seed out there, and they play UConn. Like, that's just a terrible matchup. But yeah. Jalen Blackman, if you're looking for a guard who can really go, he scored 43 points in the A-Sun title game. He is one of the best guard scorers in the country. Stephon Swenson right next to him, that's a really good guard duo, but they're playing UConn. They're not going to win that game. So you can still find things to enjoy about these games, but odds are they're probably not going to win.
We're talking to Sean Paul, Field of 68 here, and my last question is very simple. Where can people go to find your thoughts, find your articles, and what's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, at SeanPaulCBB, to see all of the NCAA tournament thoughts I have and tweeting about random transfers, because everybody is entering the transfer portal nowadays. So maybe San Diego State will get a couple of them.
We probably will. I want to ask you one more thing before I let you go. I mean, I told everybody before you came on, I said, this guy's really knowledgeable, so get your brackets out. And you have done nothing to change my mind, Sean. I mean, I can't believe the in-depth knowledge you have. The one thing that people are saying this year is that UConn, Houston, and Purdue, those three, are just better than everybody. Do you have all three of them being able to get to the Final Four, or are they likely to run into some problems somewhere? I know you don't think UConn will. What about the other two?
That's a great question. Well, I'll just say my pick here. I have UConn winning the whole thing. I know that's a very chalk pick these days, but that's just the best team I've seen this year. I've watched a lot of UConn because they're just that fun to watch. They're the best team I've seen. I'm perfectly okay being wrong if they're not going to win at all. But the other two, I have Houston going down in the round of 32. I know that's a very unpopular opinion, but I could air my thoughts on them real fast. Their defense is elite, like always. Kelvin Sampson's a great coach, but I've said for months, what's going to happen to Houston when L.J. Cryer and Jamal Shedd have an off-scoring night? And we saw exactly what happens in that situation against Iowa State. They were completely outmatched by a really good Iowa State team as a 2-seed. Probably should have been a 1-seed, in my opinion. But they got completely outmatched because they don't have enough scoring outside of those two. They need those two to combine for 40 points in a game if they're going to win that game against a high-level team. I have Texas A&M taking them down in the round of 32. For me, it just comes down to the lack of scoring options, and they are just so depleted right now, which isn't the style that Kelvin Sampson wants his teams to have. He likes having a ton of depth, but Juwan Roberts is shaken up right now. He should play, I assume. He played in the conference title game, but I don't think he's 100%. You're down 3 rotation players. Houston's just not as good as the other two teams, in my opinion. I think it's UConn and Purdue, and then a decently sized gap between Houston and the other two.
Okay.
I don't think Houston's going to make a deep run. I just don't see it this year. Purdue, I have making it to, I think, the Elite Eight and losing. Obviously, they can win it all, too. But I think UConn is the best of that bunch by a pretty clear margin.
Well, Sean, I'm a lot smarter about the tournament than I was 20 minutes ago. Thanks for great insight. Let's catch up to you again, and we'll preview the Aztec Sweet 16 matchup against UConn, the one that you don't think is going to happen.
Title rematch? All right, I'm down for that. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Why not? Hey, we owe them from last year. We appreciate it, Sean. Thanks. Great stuff as always. Again, give us the Twitter thing, and it's the Field of 68, the website that people can follow. Because the rest of the guys are just as smart as you are. So tell us again.
Twitter at SeanPaulCBB and the Field of 68. I believe it's just at the Field of 68. Nightly show every night with a bunch of really smart college basketball minds. And they'll be going live again tonight. So make sure you pay attention to that. The Field of 68 daily, a written version of everything you need to know about college basketball. Subscribe to that newsletter. You can find all that information on the Field of 68's Twitter. And I believe it's on mine as well.
Awesome. Wow. Great stuff, Sean. We really enjoyed it. Thanks again.
Sean.
We'll still talk to you again. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
There you go. Sean Paul from the Field of 68. And there you go. A little help for your brackets. And you now have the knowledge of the starting backcourt at Stetson.
That's right.
Stetson.
I guarantee you could interview a reporter from Stetson. They wouldn't know who the starting back quarter is. Sean Paul knew.
He did.
He was on top of the situation. 1 minute to go in overtime. Good game. Obviously, they're in overtime. NCAA first four. Grambling State 80, Montana State 78. Grambling State by two. They have the ball with a minute left in overtime. The winner will get a chance to beat Purdue on Friday. The next game will be Boise State and Colorado. Scraby will keep you up to date on all of that.
Yes, I
will. He's coming up next with the Scraby Chronicles. It's Gwen and Chris. Hope you enjoyed today. Don't forget Padre Baseball at 3 o'clock in the morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.